and spirit.
Amen.
God works in us both to will and do for His good pleasure. Even though we've made that physical move, or we put our computers on, and whatever it is, or we've searched through various different rooms on Paltor, none of us are here today by coincidence, by chance. It is the Spirit that draws. And Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me." And God's sheep will discern. They will hear. They will test. They know when the shepherd is speaking by the Spirit, by the anointing that he has given through the Holy Spirit. And so, I want to open up the purpose of this body. And I may also be speaking not, of course, only individually about this assembly, but also corporately about the body of Christ, the church, because there is such a confusion and misunderstanding as to the true nature and function of the body of Christ. And I believe, as we have taught this over the years through the Deeper Life, that the Holy Spirit is restoring us now. And in this time of restoration, we are being brought back to true fellowship, true koinonia, coming back under divine headship, not of man, but of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is head over his church. We are being restored back as a royal priesthood.
Glory.
We are being restored back as a people to function in ministry. I have always believed, as the word shows, that each who are baptized into the body of Christ are there not simply as spectators to be entertained, but are there to function for the glory of God and for ministry. So we're going to remind ourselves again over the next few weeks of why we're here, opening up the word, how the church at Pentecost functioned, and how God is restoring us back to the type of functioning that the early Christians, how they functioned, how they came together, drawn by the Spirit, worshipped God in spirit and in truth. There was no controlling, there was no denominational hold, there was no man-made thing, organization, as the church was, and so it's being restored. It's not an organization, it is an organism functioning with an eye, an ear, an arm, a toe, a leg, a nose, making up the body.
Amen.
As the Apostle Paul clearly showed in Corinthians. But it is one thing to talk about this. It is one thing to expound from the scriptures, which I'm going to do. But it is another thing that you are experiencing this work. That you have been baptized into the body of Christ, where you are being prepared, worked upon, changed, delivered. You are being anointed for ministry. You see, this teaching, like all teachings, can do two things. It can simply be a theological teaching, yes, which is interesting, yes, it's the Word of God, or it is a teaching where it is delivering me, setting me free, that I may walk and experience that which I hear and is ministered to by the anointing. That is what sorts out the men from the boys.
That's right.
God no longer wants spectators sitting on the side. He no longer wants Christians, professing Christians, going from this church to that church, from this room to that room. He wants us to settle. He wants us to start maturing, growing up, so that we will also start to function in ministry as well. This is essential. This is what the church is about. That she's set in the world as a light. And that light can only function and shine when believers minister and are led by the Spirit of the living God. That is its light. That is its testimony. It is one thing to learn about theology and the Word of God. And I'm all for that, because the church is a schooling. We come to church to be schooled. But unless the Word takes hold of our lives, and this Word becomes a living reality through our everyday lives and witnesses, then it's a waste of time. You're simply going to have a head filled full of theology which simply puffs up pride and arrogance. And we've got enough of that round in churches today.
That's right.
No, those who will live this are those who walk in humility with bowed knees, whose ears and hearts are ever open, ready to learn, to serve. So this is where I'm coming from as I begin to open up. And I'm calling this, as I've said, the purpose of this body. Now, there are essential reasons why we meet, and the reason we are here. And I want to open this up today, that there is a reason why we're here. We are not here by chance, by coincidence. We are here because God has taken the initiative. Yes. We are here because God means business with us. And the question is, do we mean business with Him? Yes. We're here because He's looking right into our hearts, into our motives, into our attitudes. He's looking to see whether we come into His presence open, believing, with clean hands and a pure heart, knees bowed in His presence. Yes. He's looking for all of that, because at the end of the day, only the touch of Almighty God can change us. Nobody else can change us. We can try and do it in ourselves, in our own strength, in a religious way, but they are nothing but dirty works before Him. So we need to know the reason why we meet and that we're here. And the first reason, and I'm going to bring this under several reasons why we're here, but the first one is the proclamation of the gospel. We're here today, brothers and sisters, because we are proclaiming something. And what we are proclaiming is God's word. And so that is the first reason and the purpose for this body, and I believe other churches that are meeting around the world. And we glean this from Mark 16. We all know this very well. From Mark 16, verses 15 to 18. Of Mark 16, verses 15 to 18. And here the Lord Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, from the cross. He's now appeared before the disciples, and He's now ready to ascend into heaven. But before He does so, He gives the great commission to the church, not just to the disciples. And here it says in verse 15, and He said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. These signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues.
Amen.
They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Now, the first thing that we have to acknowledge there is that over the centuries, the church sadly, has given up or not believed in these signs following. And therefore, she has lost sight and understanding of the real purpose of why she meets, why saints meet.
Yeah.
God in this hour is restoring back the Great Commission. He no longer is restoring it through men who are building their own ministries, evangelists, who are building an empire, a huge following, and so on. That is not how God is restoring the Great Commission. For true evangelism, to demonstrate again with true signs following in the last days, will be done through the Church of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It is not done through individual people building their own empire. God has permitted that and allowed that for a season, but it is no longer the divine plan that God has for the body of Christ. And anything outside that will not stand for the last days. And this is why we do not see the real signs following these ministries. They try to create these signs, a lot of them. They have been found at times, these signs, to be bogus, to be simulated. They're not real. When you find out about the testimonies, there's been a tremendous exposure of fraud going on with many of these one-man ministries. And they make merchandise of the gospel through their begging, hypnotic techniques. How they abuse the Holy Spirit, blaspheme almost the Holy Spirit, that the Spirit is here today and that He wants you to give, and there'll be 10 people the Lord showed me in the meeting. I've had a word of knowledge and 10 will be giving £1,000 today. You know, brothers and sisters, because you've heard it.
That's right. Yeah.
Jesus never used those techniques. The disciples never used those techniques. The early church that turned the world upside down never did that.
Right.
Why? Because it's a disgrace to the gospel. Jesus said, freely you have received, freely give.
Amen.
And if you get an offering, then that's just an added bonus. God has never raised the church up to beg, to subtly seduce people in giving. Never. And God will judge it in the last days. It is so contrary to what we have read here of the Great Commission. He says, preach the gospel to every creature, and those who believe will be baptized and will be saved. And those signs will follow those who believe. And he says, in my name, you cast out demons. Demons have to be cast out in these last days. There are so many demons oppressing in meetings, in assemblies. And it's the Word of God that casts out those demons. We have seen many of God's people oppressed by the Word, by the anointed Word being preached, being delivered and set free right in their seats. I've had the blessing of seeing this over and over many times through our ministry over the years. People baptized in the Holy Spirit while they're sitting, listening to the teaching, suddenly beginning to speak out in tongues.
Right. Amen.
We've seen it. New languages. They will take up serpents. If they drink any deadly things, that means protection over you. That means that if people are trying to kill you or poison you, and it goes on and it will go on, you won't be hurt by it. And you'll lay hands on the sick. Not that they might recover, they will. Because the presence of Christ is there to heal amongst God's people. Because He's drawing us back under His presence and not under the presence of a man or a pope or elders. I've always said, your covering is the blood of Jesus and not a man. Yet God still sets a divine order. Hallelujah. And if we're not convinced of that, turn with me to Matthew 28 to confirm this. Again, the Great Commission given to the body, you, me, us, the body to function. Here it is, Matthew 28, verses 19, 20. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Thank God he says that. Yeah. And he is, and he was, and he is today, because he has sent the Holy Spirit back. Do you know the Holy Spirit that he sent back to us was Jesus, the personality of Jesus, to us through the Holy Spirit?
Glory.
That's whom you have received. You receive him back, but by the Spirit now. He said, I won't leave you comfortless. I'm going away to prepare a place for you, but I will return. I will come. And that is why when they were baptized in the Holy Spirit in the upper room, that 120, they received the baptism with cloven tongues of fire. Why was it so great? Why was it such a revelation? Because Jesus has come back.
Oh, glory, glory.
His promise, he said what he would do, and he's done it.
Amen.
And he's now in us, living in us, by the Spirit.
Glory.
That is why you do everything in and through the name of Jesus.
Right.
That is the name we use, because that is the name that is in us, that lives. He says you do everything in word and deed. We pray in the name of Jesus. We baptize in the name of Jesus. We cast out demons in the name of Jesus.
Glory.
That is why demons do not like that name.
That's right, amen.
I've had demons cry out at people and say, shut up, I hate that name. I say, I know you do. And as a result of it, you're coming out by that name. And they do. There's coming an hour when saints were going to be hindered. We're going to be stopped to use that name of Jesus. They don't mind you using the name God, because that's ecumenical. I mean, yes, God is God, but there are also many other gods as well.
That's right. Yeah.
But when you define the covenant name of our God to us in the flesh, and his name is Jesus, they don't like that. Demons don't like that. No, that's the great commission given to you and I, brothers and sisters. And the church was established for ministry. And that's why after Pentecost, they shared daily teaching, came under the apostles' teaching, prayers, breaking of bread, they fellowship, they came together because of that name.
Oh, yes.
And had all things common. And God is restoring this back now, again, brothers and sisters. But he first has to do it by the Spirit. And it is by the Spirit that we have true fellowship, true koinonia. That is where it starts. We have all things common. We share in that word that he gives us. We're of one mind and one heart and one spirit, one body. Because the Godhead is one. In the Godhead, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, they are perfectly one, united, joined together as one Spirit who eternally manifests as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There is no dissension in the Godhead. They are perfectly one and in harmony.
Yes,
and we partake of that oneness.
Yeah.
And that is the oneness that God is building. Little wonder how the devil is trying to divide the body of Christ. That we have these denominations today. Some 2,000-3,000 of them. All of which can't agree. And so you've got a false unity and oneness coming up. The ecumenical move. Well, it doesn't matter what you believe, but we'll all make it through to God. It certainly does. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh to the Father except through the Son,
Amen.
Jesus Christ. There is no other way of salvation. There is no other way of making it into the kingdom of God, and that is through his Lamb provided, that is Jesus.
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
Who atones for us.
Amen.
Amen. Secondly, the purpose of this body. Secondly, the purpose of this body is the church is for the manifestation of Christ and his glory. This body and other bodies, other assemblies, churches, they come together because it manifests Christ and his glory. That is why Jesus said, "Where two or three gather together, there am I in the midst." Our assembling together, this meeting today, together, brothers and sisters, is that Christ will be manifested for what purpose? For his glory. Amen. This meeting today is for Christ's glory and honor.
Amen.
Not for you, not for me, for him.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm here today, I stand behind this pulpit for him. That is why we didn't choose him, he chose us. He loved us first. And we always have to remember that is where our meeting is. That is its purpose. And I've got quite a few scriptures coming up to back this up. For our first one, John chapter 9 and verse 5. John 9 and verse 5. And hear what Jesus said. As long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. And he is in the world. He's now in the church. He's in us. And he said, all the while I am in my people, in my church, I am the light of the world.
Amen.
And let that light shine. God knows how to let that light shine. You do not have to work at lighting that light. God knows how to light. God knows how to advertise his name. God knows how to get the attention of people. God knows how to get his word out. We just need to move with him in obedience. It's not by might nor by power. It is by his spirit that he does it. And it's as we yield and as we die daily to the self-life, so the Spirit of God within us will work in and through us for the church. And that is why the church is here in this world for his glory. Let's look also in John 17 verse 10. John chapter 17 and verse 10. And here he says, all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I'm glorified in them. So here today, we're in Christ, and he's in us, all in all. This is where he's now glorified.
Amen. That's right.
And lifted up. Verse 22, 23 of the same chapter of John 17. Verses 22, 23. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. I in them, and you in me. That they may be made perfect in one. And that the world may know that you have sent me, and have loved them as you have loved me. What profound words Jesus is saying there in his priestly prayer before he went to the cross. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them. The glory that was on Christ in his earthly body, that glory that raised him from the dead, that has caused him now to sit at the right hand of the Father, and all power and authority has been given to him, he says, I now share it with them, that they may be one just as we are one. So it takes the glory of God that was invested and given by the Father, given to him, it now takes that glory that now has to be given to you in order to make you one with him.
Thank you, Jesus.
And most of the church has lost that and doesn't see it. But that is to be experienced, brothers and sisters. That's not just words. It's not just a theological thesis. This is to be experienced through the work of the Holy Spirit. I in them, and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Notice the world is to see the purpose, ministry and function of Jesus. It's not to see some minister being exalted, puffed up, which is most what you see today.
Right.
Or a church or a denomination. No, the church, its consecration, its function, its ministry is that Christ may be seen in the world. Because it is only Christ that can draw sinners to true repentance. And he's talking about that mystery, that union, that oneness, which of course the book of Ephesians all speaks about. And Paul uses the analogy of a man and wife coming together in one flesh. So that mystery, that union, we are one with the Godhead. Of his fullness we have received. Again, brothers and sisters, the church is for the manifestation of Christ in his glory. That's what we're dealing with secondly here. What does it say in Philippians chapter 2 verse 15? Philippians chapter 2 and verse 15. And here he's speaking about that you may be the light of the world, the church again. Here it is, verse 15, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom you shine as lights in the world. That you become blameless, harmless. Now only God can work that in us. So that they can't find fault with you, even though they're trying to persecute you. The same as they couldn't find fault with Jesus, so they will not find fault with the church. The Spirit is doing that, as he's preparing us. As we put on those robes, the bride making herself ready. What does it say in 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9? 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. And here it is. We love this one, don't we? But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Who once were not a people, but are now the people of God. Who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Here we are. You are priests. You don't have to go to a priest. You are a priesthood.
Thank you, Jesus. Glory.
How we see churches have got it so wrong. Everyone who is baptized into the body of Christ is a full-time Christian, a disciple, functioning, whether you're at work, at home, the family, wherever you are always that light shining. And as we go on in this walk, overcoming, those lights are going to get stronger and stronger and stronger. You mark my words. As I said, you don't have to work at this light. The light that God has put, which is his light, in the body of Christ, is going to get stronger and stronger.
Amen.
And demons will know it.
That's right.
Well, thirdly, the purpose of this body. Thirdly, the church is to reveal and demonstrate to the world the love, grace, and wisdom of God to a dying, sinful world. That salvation lies in Jesus Christ and Him only. That, thirdly, is the purpose of this body. I repeat it again, that the church is to reveal and demonstrate to the world the love, grace, and wisdom of God to a dying, sinful world, that salvation is in Christ Jesus and Him only. That is the wisdom and mind of God. The wisdom and mind of God is that I will save the world, I will save sinners through my Son, Jesus Christ. But man's wisdom opposes God's wisdom. And they're in conflict. Because man's wisdom said you can reach God anyway, anyhow. And you cannot. And so the purpose of this body is to proclaim that there is only one way, one truth, one salvation, one baptism, one Christ, one church.
Amen.
And that salvation lies in Jesus only. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 8 to 11. Ephesians chapter 3 and verses 8 to 11. 8 to 11. To me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which He accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. So there we are. Here's the purpose of ministry. And the apostle brought it out. He revealed why he was there, why he was being used, his purpose, his function. And it is the same for us, the church. To make all see what our fellowship is about, why we have this unity and oneness which was given from the beginning of the ages, that has been created through Jesus Christ, that the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church. You, me, every brother and sister who loves the Lord Jesus Christ, who is truly saved and baptized in the Spirit, you are revealing the wisdom of God to a dying world. You today are revealing God's mind, His plan, His purpose before the world was created. You are the wisdom and mind of God manifest to the world by the way you live, conduct yourself, your walk of faith, and so on. And in what form? For according to the eternal purpose which He accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. So all of this is accomplished and achieved through Him and through the work of the Holy Spirit as He now lives in His fullness in and through your life. That is why I always say you are living, walking tabernacles. And that is why we glorify God in our whole being, in body, soul, and spirit. Our whole being glorifies the Lord. Fourthly, the church is for fellowship with other Christians and waiting for the second advent throughout eternity. So our fellowship is with like-minded believers in true unity and oneness, and our consecration, our fellowship, like it is today, we're here because we look to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ as we look up as our redemption draws nigh. So fourthly, the purpose of this body and other bodies is so that we are prepared, made ready for the rapture, which is the next great event to take place in God's calendar, so that we will be ready and be taken up. I do not believe you can be taken up in the rapture outside the body of Christ. Because the body of Christ, its purpose, its function, its coming together is that we encourage one another. We talk about the coming of the Lord. We pray one for another so that we will all be ready as the bride makes herself ready. The bride is the church.
Amen.
You can't do it outside of that. Yet you've got believers who think that they can. It's not scriptural, brothers and sisters. Let's turn to scripture. 1 John chapter 1 verses 3 to 10. The Epistle of John, 1 John. Chapter 1, verses 3 to 10. 1 John, chapter 1, verses 3 to 10. That we have seen and heard and declare to you, that also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full. This is the message which we have heard from God and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. And if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. And if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Do you know what? Do you know what hinders true fellowship? It's sin. It's unconfessed sin. It's living a lie. That is why we have to keep close accounts with the Lord. So that if we fall short, the mercy and grace of God cleanses us. Because that keeps us in fellowship with God and each other. Yeah. That is what it means. So God has even provided for that. Because he knows in our flesh that at times we miss it a mile, sadly. And he says that he says, I declare to you that God is light. In him is no darkness at all. So there can't be darkness in our fellowship. And if we say that we have fellowship with him, and we walk in darkness, we're liars. And we're not practicing the truth. We're not adhering to the truth. We become dull of hearing. And that's what sin will do. That is why I'm always saying to you, brothers and sisters, if you sin, don't leave it one second. Don't say, oh, I'll confess tonight, or I'll confess this afternoon when I've got time. For all you know, your soul may be declared before God that very day. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, if you have sinned, and know that sin wants you to run away, because that's the nature of sin. Sin wants you at that moment to hide, just like Adam and Eve, but defy it. Run to God. Everything within you is saying, run away, hide, don't do it, defy it, run to God, fall on your knees, Father, forgive me. Lord, it's you I've done this against, but I call upon the cleansing blood of Jesus, and you're back in fellowship. Do you know the wonderful thing that amazes me, and this is the thing that probably breaks me more than anything, how quick God is to receive me back.
Yes.
It's the devil that tries to keep us apart. And that's why he caused and tried to trick us up to sin. You see. He knows. Defy it. Don't go by feelings. Walk by faith. Hallelujah. Whatever it takes, just run to God. Don't leave it to fester. Because that's poison. Spiritual poison. When you have sinned, fallen short, Just turn away. Move away from the crowd. If you're at work, just go into the toilet and get it right with God.
Yes.
And you're back in fellowship. You're back in peace. Yes, sometimes we have to walk out of sin. Yes, God sometimes has to chastise us in the flesh. But in spirit, you're in fellowship, union with Him still. Because that is vital. What does it say in John 14? The Gospel of John 14. Remember today we're dealing with the purpose of this body. That's what we're talking about. John 14 verses 1 to 3. John 14 verses 1 to 3. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Here it is. Fourthly, the purpose for this body, and I've said that the church is for fellowship with other Christians, waiting for the second advent of the Lord. That's why we're together. He says, don't let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. That's why we walk by faith and not by sight. Because by walking by faith, it deals with those things that try to trouble you, to hinder you, to try to minister fear. Yes, it might be oppressing. Yes, your circumstances might be like that. But at the end of the day, you have to say, well, I walk by faith and not by sight, and God will bring me through. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I go and prepare a place for you. And I go and prepare a place for you. I will come again and receive you to myself. Where I am, there you may be also. Let that be comfort to us, brothers and sisters. Jesus is coming back.
Amen.
He's gone temporarily to prepare a place. You've got your own place in heaven, and you will not be disappointed.
Praise the Lord.
You will be over the moon. You will be so excited when you see that place that He's promised and set for you. You'll fall down and worship Him and say, Lord, how did you know this color scheme? How did you know that carpet? How did you get those seats right? How did you get those curtains, those windows, everything and more? It's just what I love. You got it all right. Of course He did. Because He said, I go to prepare. And not only that, we're going to share the courts of heaven, which is going to be even greater.
That's right. Amen.
Worship and praise. Always learning more and more, revelation after revelation after revelation. Think you know anything? No, I've seen enough of God, there's more to see. Never ever will come to an end. Every second, every moment, we will be living in the realm of revelation. God revealing Himself more and more to us. That's what we're destined for, brothers and sisters. Learning more, seeing more, experiencing more. Oh, I don't know about you, I can't wait. Finally, in John 17, verse 24. John 17 and verse 24. Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. What did Jesus say? He said, I desire. Before He gave His life up for us, in His priestly prayer, He said, the desire of my heart is that they may be with me and share the glory that you have given me. Now my Bible says that God gives us the desires of our heart.
Yep.
That was Jesus' desire. Mm-hmm. He was believing. He was believing the same as we're believing. But His desire was that a seed would be redeemed. The that their eyes and ears and hearts would be open, that they would see Jesus. That was his desire, to take a remnant people home. And you know, brothers and sisters, you today who believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, you are part of that desire that was in his heart.
Yes, thank you, Jesus.
That is why you were there on the cross. You were there in the agony. You were there when they ripped his body apart. You were there when they pushed those thorns down into his skull. You were there when they whipped him beyond recognition. You were there when he hung out. You were there when finally he could no longer hold on and said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." You were there, the desire of his heart.
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
What a gospel this is. How profound this is. You can't put this into words. That is the purpose and reason for this body. Why we're here. Why others love Jesus. Why our brothers and sisters have joined us here today in fellowship. That is the purpose and reason. Because you are the desire of his heart.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. I will end it there for this week. I believe there is more to come. But let's thank the Lord. Father, we at times are lost for words. But Father, we just want to thank you from the depths of our heart. That Lord, we have always been there in your heart. We were even there before the foundation of the world, because the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. Father, in your time, your economy, we have never actually been apart. But we had to, in our flesh, come at a particular time to have our ears and eyes open, that we were sinners separated from the love of God. But we responded. We confessed sin. We believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ simply because we were the desire of your heart. Unless we're called from the foundation of the world, no man will make it into the kingdom of God. And the only way we know we're called is to stay with it, to endure to the end. And so Lord, we thank you today for our fellowship. Thank you for speaking into our lives, changing our lives. Lord, I pray that you'll be with us, bless us, preserve us, and keep us from the evil one. Above all, keep us from self, Father, from deceiving self, which we can do so easily. Let us each day take up our crosses and follow you. Help us to be consecrated, set apart to you and to holiness. Until we assemble again, in Jesus' name.
Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.